Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join us as we face the issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day, and let's not forget it, and sometimes I do that. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of internet, online, that's 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone number, telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion on the day. We're going to be talking about a very serious question today. Why vote? Why vote? I've been told that in the 2020 election, that we had about 40 million Christian conservatives that did not bother to vote. I'm told that in the 2022 election, we had some 26 million Christian conservatives that did not vote. So, ladies and gentlemen, maybe that answers the question of why we have Sleepy Joe in the Oval Office. Maybe that answers the question why we're getting the results we're getting at the border today, because so many did not vote. So that's what we'll be talking about today. We've got a very special guest that we'll introduce in just a moment, right after our monologue. But first of all, let me remind you, as we discuss the issues on this broadcast each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God created the home, God created the government, and God created the church, and he did so in that order. So anything that affects those three, any one of those three institutions, should be something that we're concerned about, interested in, and have the dialogue and discussion about. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then the Lord Jesus in John 14, 6 says, "I am truth." And further in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So I challenge you each and every day on this broadcast of standing for truth. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made an astounding, staggering, profound statement. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be factual today. I would say that's the truth today, but that's a spin on the term. But understand that that is where we are today. If you speak the truth, you stand on the truth, whether it be theological, doctrinal, biblical, societal, anything dealing with politics, if you stand on the truth, you're going to find someone that will want to challenge you in relationship to it. I am concerned when I understand the latest survey shows that some 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, some 55% of that age group say that each person determines their own vision or version of truth. Each person determines their own truth. That says, ladies and gentlemen, that truth is vacillating. Truth is not stable. Truth is not solid. It goes back to the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a profound statement. Jim DeMint said, and I quote, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even among Christian churches." This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge to you each and every day on this broadcast, is we need to love the truth. Listen, you won't hear the truth on the Communist Network News. You won't hear the truth, generally speaking, on what is called the political agenda today. You find truth centralized in the Word of God. We need to stand for that. We need to love the truth, tell the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located right in the heart of Mandarin, 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It has the family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, and see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about voting today. Why vote? We've got approximately 1 month before our primary election. Primary election in Jacksonville, Duval County, is March the 21st of 2023. That's just a few short weeks away. Early voting starts very soon. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you're registered to vote. And I pray that as a conservative Christian, a Republican, that you'll take a stand and vote for those candidates that are more qualified for the position that they're seeking. Ladies and gentlemen, our citizens in Duval County will decide on our future mayor. Our citizens, your vote, my vote, will determine who's going to be in several of the major offices that's open for those running for that position. For the future of Jacksonville will take place. Ladies and gentlemen, the future of Jacksonville will be determined on March the 21st, 2023, just a few short weeks away. America, ladies and gentlemen, has already seen what can happen when people select the wrong person to lead us. Our nation is desperately in need of someone to lead us as a nation today. We're watching the denigration, the disintegration, and the destruction of a constitutional republic because of a socialist, communist, Marxist agenda that prevails in our nation. I believe it's time Christians speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen. I believe it's time conservatives come out from behind the door and stand and be heard and be seen. I believe it's time patriots would take a stand for those that are running for office and cast our votes for them. I have said for years and years and years, one vote, every vote counts. I recall when Jay Fant was elected to the House of Representatives here in the state of Florida. And I sat in his office with my wife with coffee and donuts with him that morning when he was being sworn into office. And I said, "Jay, you realize our two votes put you in office?" He said, "Doc," he said, "I've had about two dozen that said it was their vote that put me in office." And the point being, he was elected with two votes. So don't you dare think that your vote does not count. Yes, I understand we can be kind of disgruntled because of some things that take place with our elections. I understand that we can get to the point where we think that an election is disingenuous and we ought not to participate. But I believe it's time that we truly be biblical salt and light and taking a stand for those offices that are those people that are running for the different offices in our city. We need to vote. In fact, we're looking at a scenario in America today where we're in constant danger. Just a little point of reference, and then we'll introduce our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Just a little point of reference, something that you may or may not be familiar with. I am looking at an article that says single world government and AI, that's artificial intelligence, could doom humanity, says Elon Musk. Musk has called for the regulatory oversight for artificial intelligence, similar to that oversight for medicine and vehicles. Establishing a single government, he says, could bring about the end of all of humanity. Billionaire Elon Musk warned while also calling artificial intelligence one of the biggest risks facing humanity and our civilization. Quote, I know this is called, he was speaking at the World Government Summit, and Musk said, I know this is called the World Government Summit, but I think we should be a little bit concerned about actually becoming too much of a single world government. Musk said in his remote speech February the 15th at 2023 World Government Data Conference in Dubai, quote, he said, if I may say, we want to avoid creating a civilization risk by having, frankly, this might sound a little odd, but too much cooperation between governments. Although all throughout history, civilizations have risen and fallen, but it hasn't meant the doom of humanity as a whole because there have been all those separate civilizations that were separated by great distance. And he goes on to talk about the dangers of artificial intelligence, ladies and gentlemen. And it comes about as we find, generally speaking, on a major, massive scale, there's a push for a one-world government. And ladies and gentlemen, may I just tuck in a little eschatological prophetic fact. One day there will be that one world government. It will be dominated by a person that the Bible calls the Antichrist, where the Antichrist will rule and reign and control this old world. It will be yes to whatever is said or done, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. You'll not be able to buy, sell, trade, or travel unless you have the permission by way of the identifier that's called the mark. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to understand that we're on the fast track for those last days. And as such, we need to be very, very careful that we elect the person that God would have us to place in office. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll say this, and then we'll introduce our guest today. The Bible gives us God's election guide. Perhaps you've heard me use this text before. At the risk of redundancy, may I say again, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a fourfold qualification in the Word of God for any candidate that's running for office. That fourfold qualification is, first of all, able men. That is, men having the capability and the competence to run the office that they're seeking. Secondly, such as fear God. The word fear means to have reverence for, to have respect for, to have recognition for. Men whose faith directs their focus as they serve the people. That's two of the qualifications that God gives in God's election guide. The third is men of truth. That is literally having reputation for integrity and honesty and reliability that we can place our trust and confidence in as they represent us in the elected offices that we place them in. And the fourth qualification in God's biblical election guide is hating covetousness. That literally means men that are in the position or seeking the position, not for money, not for the gravis, not for that which they can make out of it as the Biden family cabal. By the way, just a little footnote, I understand that they've received some $100 to $137 million out of China and Russia and other places, and the money's been washed through Ukraine for all of these years. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we have that kind of candidate sitting here in our studio today that I believe we need to hear and to hear well. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted and privileged to have with us today Danny Becton. Danny is our conservative candidate for Duval Property Appraiser. Danny, welcome to Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And not having been on radio very much, I'm not sure I have a radio voice, but I certainly am
going to give
it a good try today.
Amen.
And in talking about the property appraisers.
Well, I'm delighted that you're with us. Danny, I've known you for less than 100 years, and I've said this to you in private, and I've said this to others on the radio broadcast, especially as I've interviewed our next mayor, which is Al Ferrero. I've had the privilege of talking about you in the good sense, and I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that Danny, having represented District 11 in Duval County for some 8 years now, Danny and one other the two serious conservatives on our city council out of 19 people. Now, I don't say this to denigrate anyone else that may be listening, that you're serving, or you have served, or you know someone that's serving, but I am honored to have Danny Becton with us today because of his conservative stand on issues that I believe count. Danny, would you take a few moments, whatever you feel is necessary, to introduce yourself to our listeners today, something about yourself and your family and your profession?
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, appreciate it very much. And like I said, appreciate being here today. And so I've been in Jacksonville since about 1985, and I moved here right out of college, which I had gotten a degree from Valdosta State University in business management.
A Georgia boy.
In management information system, a go dogs person.
That's right. That's good.
Don't hold that against me.
No, that's where I am.
Florida Gators out there, because I am going to share with you that I do have a daughter who is a senior at Florida. So, but I've been married for 30 years to a wonderful lady, my wife Linda. We celebrated this past December. I always talk about I married beyond.
We both did.
Beyond my means. But I do have two adult daughters. Been surrounded by women in my household. My oldest daughter, she moved back up to Georgia in her career, and just fortunate enough to this past December that she gave us our first grandchild.
Amen.
Yep. Unfortunately, she kind of came 3 months early. So, but little Ellie is doing wonderful.
Amen.
And is ahead of the progress of being in the NICU unit up in Georgia. But we're looking forward to the day she gets to come home very soon. And I mentioned my youngest daughter is at University of Florida. She's about to graduate this new May. And I can never forget to tell everybody about the only other man in my household, my dog Leo, that I adopted from my oldest daughter. He's our grand dog. So
your grand dog.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that.
So been here in Jacksonville for a very long time and love it. I've always loved it here in my career. I spent 40 years in the retail industry, beginning in the grocery business as a bag boy with Winn-Dixie and working through college. And when I graduated, I had the opportunity to move with Winn-Dixie here to Jacksonville, Florida, and work for their corporate office, utilizing my IT skills at the time when computers were really just coming about.
Yes.
So I moved here in 85, and I've never left. I started my own company in 1991, and for 28 years, I ran a small business.
So this is home.
Yes. And
well, I'm glad.
And then right afterwards, I got married, to a South Carolina lady that I had met on a blind date, and it was my first blind date, my last blind date.
How about that?
But we've raised a great family, and Jacksonville has just turned out to be a wonderful place to live and raise that family.
Well, you know, Danny, as long as I've known you, I did not know that you were a Georgia boy. I knew there was something that caused you to be conservative, and I'm thankful that comes out of the roots of Georgia. Danny, let's just jump into a few questions that I believe would be pertinent and relevant to our listeners today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're online or out of town, it's 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. We're interviewing Danny Becton. He is our next property appraiser for Duval County, and I'd love to hear you call in, ask some questions that you feel would be pertinent. Perhaps, and we'll get to it later in the broadcast, we'll get to a question, what does the property appraiser do? What, and perhaps that's an enigma to you. What does the property appraiser do? What's his office for? How does he run the office? What are his responsibilities? Those and others we're going to be asking today as we talk to Danny Becton. Danny, would you tell us why, and I know this is a broad question, why would you like to be the next property appraiser?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, as I mentioned, I spent 40 years in the private sector, and I was very fortunate to have the ability to retire from that career a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking at those final years of in the private sector, I got started volunteering within my own community. I live in the Bay Meadows area and saw a lot of issues in that area with decline and congestion. And I really joke that when you volunteer, sometimes you feel like, okay, I'll just get into the shallow end of the pool. and next thing you know, years later, I'm in the deep end.
In the Olympic pool.
I'm in the Olympic end and had spent 10 years on my owner's association board. Mm-hmm. I was president for 2 years and treasurer for 6 years, and figured that if I could serve my neighbors and 739 property owners in that, I could do anything.
Amen.
But then it
That's
got
hard
to,
bringing consensus out of that number of people, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's nothing like disagreeing or allowing your neighbor, you know, certainly to get into issues that, cause you got to live together, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
It's kind of like in your household, but that also led me into helping FDOT start a public-private partnership in Bay Meadows called the Better Bay Meadows. That was something that I got recruited to do and to improve the area surrounding there. And then back in 2004, there was a big issue in Bay Meadows about the old golf course, if everybody remembers that
time. I'm familiar with it.
A developer came in and bought it. There was about 9 homeowner communities that were very concerned about how many homes were going to be built, how it was going to impact their community. And me being in the position I was in at the time through this volunteer Better Bay Meadows, I got recruited within this issue. And that led to me realizing where City Hall was because I was just not – I'd been a business owner for 28 years – managing people, payrolls, budgets, and operations of my company, and once again, just volunteering and trying to help and improve things with the skills that I had in my business, and by virtue of that, one day one of the city council members who represented our area. And our area was actually covered by the beaches,
right?
In as far as a district, and it was Art Graham back in 2008 was sitting down with us and said, you know, hey, I'm sure y'all would be interested in having your own local representative. We would like the beaches to be just the beaches as far as the district. So there's this thing called redistricting 2011 that. Is going to be able to change all that, and somebody needs to kind of get a seat at the table and get involved. And when 2010, 2011 came around, I kind of looked to my left and right and said, who's going to get involved, right? So I guess I self-nominated myself, and I did get involved. And I ran for city council, but it was against the beach candidate, and as always happened in the past, the beach candidate got elected, but the next day, I called Bill Gollipert, who was at the representative, and I said, hey, Bill, we promise our constituents that we will work to divide the beaches from the south side and help get local representation. And he and I worked together over the next 4 or 5 months, and I'm happy to say the first map that I drew of the southeast side of the river ended up being 95% adopted. It was something Bill and I worked together on. I wasn't upset because I lost that race. Of course, you know, I never like losing, but I knew what had to be done for my community. And so once we got the lines drawn and District 11 got positioned where it is in the Bay Meadows area, it needed a representative in 2015 was going to be the first election for that seat that I put my name in the hat and became the first city council member for a district to go unopposed for an open seat.
How about that?
And that was, I think, a testament with all the work that I had previously put in.
Yes.
I think Art Graham described it as he was the logical choice to the media But I've been so fortunate and honored to be that representative over the last 8 years.
Well, I can say, Danny, and I believe I mentioned to you earlier that I have received your updated newsletter each month, the quarter as you put it out. And I've kept pretty close tabs on what you've done quietly behind the scenes, because it's not my district, of course. But I'm thankful for what you've done. And ladies and gentlemen, I've used the term that Danny and one other, it was Al Ferrero, serving on our city council, I believe, is the two most conservative, best spoken leaders that we've had in our city council. I've been in Jacksonville 41 years, and I've seen some different city councils. And I'm thankful to say that Danny was one of the two that I contend to be the most conservative two that we've had on city council. Danny, let me ask you a question that perhaps is pertinent in the minds of many people today. Just exactly what does the property appraiser do?
That is a great question, because many people get the property appraiser, the tax collector, mm-hmm. kind of confused. And we do have four constitutional offices. We have the supervisor of elections. We have the clerk of court. Mm-hmm. We have the tax collector. And then we have the property appraiser. So the property appraiser is responsible for 110 staff member organization, has about a $12 million budget. And the property appraiser manages the property values of all of the residential and commercial parcels in our county. So his staff is tasked to going out there and making sure your value that's placed on your home is correct. Because it's that value, when city council passes their budget, which includes the millage rate, it's that millage rate that your value is calculated to determine the amount of taxes that you pay to our city. And once that is determined, the city council passes the budget, then that goes to the tax collector, who sends you a bill in November for that. And the property appraiser manages over 60% of our city budget.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. And the property appraiser is really the CEO of this department. Mm-hmm. And it's a position that is the captain of the ship to make sure that the direction of the department is heading properly, that we're not overspending, that we're managing a budget in the most efficient and cost prohibitive way of for taxpayers, but also thinking about the future and thinking about what the city is going to need in terms of being able to accomplish the things the property appraiser does. And one of the tasks that is set out is the property appraiser and his staff has to touch every parcel in this city once every 5 years.
That's a state mandate.
And that's state mandate. Mm-hmm. That's a very big responsibility, because we have over 385,000 parcels in Duval County. And that does include residential and commercial. And a little over 200,000 of those have homesteads. Mm-hmm. And it's managing that process as well. So the property appraiser has a big responsibility. He has folks underneath him that help run the day-to-day operations, but the property appraiser is the CEO that gives the organization its direction and management. As you said,
the CEO to do the oversight for that magnanimous job that has to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to take about a one-minute top-of-the-hour news break in just one moment. We'll get back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Danny Becton today. Danny's the next property appraiser for Duval County. We're looking forward to his successful candidacy and election. We'll be talking with him further, and let me remind you, join in the dialogue and discussion right after the news, that we can ask the questions and you get the answers that God would have us to have in relationship to making the decision on how we need to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.